Whose voice do you follow? When I first heard today's gospel readings, I began to reflect upon Jesus' statement, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." As I heard that proclamation, I began to wonder whether Jesus might have been a tad bit optimistic in his appraisal of the situation. After all, my own experience has taught me it's much easier to hear his voice than it is to actually follow it. Just as it's a lot easier for me to hear my mother tell me to make my bed than it is for me to actually do so. And I'm sure every child in this room will agree with me on that. But then I began to think about this statement a little bit deeper. And I wondered, what if Jesus isn't saying so much, "You are my sheep, and you know my voice, and you follow me," but is actually saying, "My sheep are the people who hear my voice and follow it, as opposed to those who hear my voice and ignore it." That's a much scarier interpretation, because that interpretation requires me to ponder whether I'm following Jesus or merely hearing his voice and ignoring it. It forces me to ask, am I really one of Jesus' sheep? Now, I've been told if you go to Israel and you go down by the water, you'll often see a bunch of shepherds, each with their flocks, and all the flocks will be intermingled. All the sheep will be amongst each other, and they'll be grazing or drinking from the water. And when a shepherd is ready to move on, all he needs to do is call out, and his sheep will separate from all the other sheep and follow their shepherd. The other sheep will ignore that shepherd's voice because they follow the voice of a different shepherd. So as I thought about that, I said, I must ask myself, whose voice am I following? Now, I know what the answer is supposed to be. The answer is supposed to be Jesus. Yet at times, I find that that's not always the case. Sometimes I find that I'm following different voices and ignoring the voice of Jesus. Sometimes I think in our world of fast-paced communication that doesn't offer much time for reflection, it's easy to get caught up in hearing other voices through our cell phones or text messages or emails. And a lot of times we can start following those voices without even being aware that we're doing so. In our society, it's so easy to get caught up in unimportant things, in temporal things. If you're like me, you find that you do this more often than you'd like. Ask yourself these questions. How often, how much time do I spend thinking about my IRA, or my 401k, or my iPod, or my Nintendo Wii? How often am I worried about whether I have the latest fashions, or the latest cars, or the newest video games? Then ask yourself, how often do I think about the poor, the oppressed, the suffering? Do I spend more time trying to find scapegoats for all the problems in my life than I do trying to improve myself or improve the world around me? So again, I ask, whose voice do you really follow? I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we must admit that the voice we follow is not always the voice of Christ. We often find ourselves pulled away from Christ by these other voices. We get pulled away by our own ego and our own selfishness. We get pulled away by our peers and by the media. At times, we can even get pulled away by our own religious zeal. You know, this happens when we think we're the good Christians and everybody else are the bad Christians, or we at St. Paul's are the good Catholics, and those people at St. Rita's have no clue what they're doing. Fortunately, there is hope. Jesus tells us three things in today's gospel that can provide us with a sense of hope. First, he says he knows his sheep. And indeed, if we are to take our baptism seriously, then we must believe that we are his sheep, regardless of how well we listen to his voice. Because in baptism, we become incorporated into the body of Christ. We belong to him. He has claimed us through our baptism. The second point of hope that Jesus speaks is that no one can take the sheep out of his hand. Now that's a very powerful statement. It informs us that while these other voices serve as distractions and might try to pull us away from Jesus, ultimately they do not have the power to do so. They're not strong enough. Jesus says that his Father is greater than all. This means that the Father is more powerful than all these other voices combined. And the Father has given us to Jesus and placed us in Jesus' hands. And no power, no other voice can take us out of his hands. No one, nothing, not even the devil himself, can take us away from Jesus. Finally, Jesus tells us that he and the Father are one. That means that Jesus has this same great power as the Father. He has the power to hold us in his hands, even when all the other voices are trying to pry us away. What's more is that in a few minutes, we'll all be receiving communion. In communion, we become one with Jesus. We take Jesus and bring him into our very own bodies. It's a very intimate act and a very powerful act. Because by receiving Jesus, our sins become forgiven. At that moment, there's no force, no power that keeps us separated from Jesus. At that very moment, we become one with Jesus, regardless of whether in our past we've acted like people who belong to a different shepherd. At that moment, we become so one with Jesus that nothing keeps us separated from him. That's the power of First Communion, and that's the power of the Eucharist every time we receive it. And when we have that unity with Christ, we become stronger. Our unity with Christ gives us the ability to overcome all those voices that try to pull us away from him. It gives us the ability to better hear the voice of Jesus and to follow that voice. So as we all prepare to receive communion, especially those who are receiving it for the first time, I invite everybody here to ask themselves, whose voice am I following?